Hello, my name is Rachel Andrews, and I'm going to be chairing the Culture File debate for Lyric FM. We've just witnessed the collaborative sound performance, Freedom, I suppose exploring the existential theme Freedom, inspired by Antigone. And it's the ninth interdisciplinary collaborative offering from Outlandish Theatre, which is a participatory theatre platform that brings together artists and community to act as co-creators in an exploration and inquiry into the place and role of theatre in these extraordinary times. So we heard a dialogue, really, or a conversation between the three named artists, if you like, and then the response or interventions from a chorus behind us, some of whom I think were involved in co-creating. There was 8 members of the chorus who co-created.
They all co-created each piece of the chorus.
And this particular performance was also developed in conversation with a group of international artists who are with us today. Iman Aoun, an award-winning Palestinian theatre artist. She's the co-founder of Ashtar Theatre Productions in Palestine and one of the driving forces behind such major international undertakings as the Gaza Monologues, a series of testimonies written by young people after the first war on the Gaza Strip in 2010. Welcome, Iman.
Thank you.
Haider Al-Timani is a Belgian-based choreographer, dancer, and actor. He's artistic director of the Theatre Antigone in Kortrijk in West Flanders, and he has staged such recent productions as Havoc, which has used dance and music to explore both the disruptive and constructive power of chaos. To my left is Maud Hendricks, who is co-creator of this performance and co-director of Outlandish Theatre Company. In front of me, I have Bernie O'Reilly, who is also a member of Outlandish Theatre Company.
Director.
Director, my apologies. And finally, a member of the chorus and co-creator, Shiloh Morris. And welcome, Shiloh. We are now going to hear a little bit from the sound performance of Freedom, which we heard here today in the Samuel Beckett Theatre.
If I was Antigone, which I'm not, even though I would play her very well, I would invite thousands of people to gather on a beach. I draw the figureheads of the kings in the sand. I would then ask them, the audience, to laugh outrageously, to humiliate them, ridicule them. Can we try this for a moment? Pathetic attempt. Rubbish.
No. It's not. It's the role of the artist to ridicule the power.
And that was an excerpt from the work Freedom, created by Outlandish Theatre Company. Maud, I might start with you. Maybe you could give us some context for how this performance came about, and maybe particularly the form, the three of you involved in a kind of a dialogue. Each of you are coming to the situation from a different perspective and even a different location, if you like. You all mentioned the distances you are from Gaza.
I was born very close to where Haider lives now. It's on the border of Belgium, Germany, and the Netherlands, in the Dutch kind of part of it. So we worked with Iman in 2016 on a play called Megalomaniac. And with Haider, we basically explored our way of making theatre, our methodology of working, although vastly different, is very closely knit together in a very understanding way. So as creators, we have a kind of a language that we kind of tap into very quickly. The performance conversation is, for me, an idea that goes from the local to the local. So rather than being fixed through funding structures and through political structures to the nation state that we are born in or that we live in, I like the idea of deconstructing that and basically connecting across those boundaries, across those borders, across those subsidy lines to the people that you want to connect with in the local entity of where they are. And so we had the privilege of working online and then coming together. So it, our projects go on for 1 year plus and have multiple layered outcomes. That's how I think it's best described.
And you did mention that there was a form of inspiration from Samuel Beckett's broadcast after the Second World War that actually never was broadcast, as far
yes.
as I understand.
So we made a little publication called The Theatre of Ruins, and it's loosely inspired by The Capital of Ruins by Samuel Beckett. After the Second World War, he volunteered at the Red Cross Hospital, and he was so struck by the devastation and by the lack of resources that the hospital was supposed to be a caring institution. They couldn't really do anything. So he was just heartstruck by this, and he wrote a long kind of documentary style report on this. It was brought back to Ireland, and it was meant to be broadcast on RTE, but it's you can't find anywhere if it actually happened, and it seemed to have been very controversial because of Irish neutrality at the time, and still, question mark. So I suppose it is a loose nod towards that idea of what is important to broadcast, what is not being said, what needs to be said and can be said and will be said, and what is speaking truth to power, and how can we do that as from an artistic perspective.
Iman, I might turn to you. Maybe you could speak to that a little in terms of, I suppose, what is not being said, what can be said, drawing on your own background. I know you've been involved in coming out of the tradition of, say, the theatre of the oppressed.
What I could say is that freedom of speech is very limited at these days back in Palestine, because as genocide is an ongoing action from the occupation onto my people. The genocide is not only taking place on the people, like killing them, but also killing their voices, killing their history, killing their identity, and trying to really shut every source of life on the ground. It is not only happening in Gaza, but it's also happening in the West Bank, as we see day in, day out, the colonial settlers are trying to burn even the main source of economic resources of the people, the olive trees, and because the olive trees is not only a symbol, it's the resource of continuation. It gives the fruit, and it gives also the oil, where the people sell in order to continue their economical stability. So at the moment, the settlers are really burning all the olive trees. They're killing the people, burning their houses, their cars in the West Bank. And that all is happening under the surveillance of the army and the government. So we are unable to speak up freely. We have seen also the targeting of the press in Gaza, but not only in Gaza, also in the West Bank. We have seen the fact that international press are unable to get in into Gaza, and because they are killing the truth, because they are silencing the actuality. And so all of that we are trying to really stand up for. Culture and the arts is an important factor. It is the only possible arm in our hands at the moment, because we use arts to really spread the word, and we use the culture to maintain the hope. and to also give space for resilience to the people. We are using psychosocial interventions with our young people and different segments in our community in order to overcome the ongoing trauma that they are living. They have been living traumas, ongoing trauma since 77 years. It's not only the last 2 years. But the last 2 years, we were living the trauma and the genocide under the sight and the sound of everyone around the world. It was projected on the TV, but there was very, very little happening in order to stop it.
Yeah. And Haider, I might turn to you. The idea of the artist as Antigone, using the figure of Antigone to construct this conversation, I suppose, this dialogue between the three artists we saw on stage. Maybe I could ask you how that came about.
I concur what Iman says, that culture can be this engine that makes heart beat again. From a Western perspective, I can say that these images are broadcasted, some of them through official channels, others through social media, influencers and stuff like that. We've been seeing them for 2 years. In the beginning, you really feel the outrage. You see these profile pictures changing into the Palestinian flags or the black. You know, you see all these things happening, and then you wonder, when will they come back, those profile pictures, to the ordinary people's profile pictures, you know? There's always this moment that you think, should I go back to my picture now or wait a little bit more? You know, this sentiment. What I want to say with this is that even that has an expiration date sometimes. It's something that is constant, ongoing, and then you just forget about it. You start living your life. You come to terms with the idea that you can't do anything about it, that the power is above you. And for me, theater plays an incredibly important part in it, because that is not being felt anymore through these images. Theater can really make it feel again, you know? You put music on it, you put some lights on it, you make an actor say it, you make someone sing, you make a chorus. So you basically use all the other weapons, artistic weapons, to make a heart that's not beating anymore beat again. I think it keeps something alive. It keeps a political idea. It keeps an idealistic idea alive. And this is something that we really experience now, the last 2 years, is the power of it. The Gaza monologues went all over the world. And some of them were thinking, maybe we do a choir, maybe we sing it, maybe it's a drumming thing, you know, by all means necessary. And this I find quite extraordinary the last couple of years.
Bernie, I might turn to you. I mean, you're involved in creating the piece as well. You know, where did you start from in order to construct this dialogue, I suppose, this conversation?
So I think to kind of go back to the very start, like the conversations we were having within Outlandish Theatre, with our colleagues within Outlandish Theatre and people in general, was, is there a point in making something artistic right now, or is there something else that can be made? We very much in open theatre practice work from a theme. Maud proposed freedom, and there wasn't another theme proposed after that. It felt like the right thing at this moment in time.
And Jen, just to kind of talk about the Freedom Manifesto that was created as part of our very much at the core of our creation process, we felt that we had to do a lot of talking before we could get down to the ground to do the work. And out of that came the Freedom Manifesto. And maybe it's good to ask Shiloh about
Shiloh,
that.
That's... Yeah, your co-creator of the chorus.
Well, I currently live out in rural Ireland in Monaghan. And I saw a post on social media saying there was going to be open theater practice and these little once weekly Zoom meetings to read Antigone. And I said, wow, okay, let me check this out. Really, I was just looking for, I don't know, companionship, something to do, and then it kind of snowballed into this, well, now we're going to have the second bit where we're actually going to make this audio production, and that really intrigued me to be able to do something purely with the audio performance.
The sounds that we heard actually from the chorus, there was so much, what would you say, they're almost physical sounds, you know, they're kind of guttural, a lot of using the voice but not actually using language, and maybe it's because language is so weaponized.
That's very interesting. I hadn't actually thought about the idea of, you know, language is weaponized when we take the actual word out. It does change it. A lot of it was Mott and Bernie pushing us to experiment. We were doing this backwards, as to most things. We were creating sound responses to a script we had not, that had not been written yet. So a lot of that, I think, also allowed us to bring our general feelings into it of how we felt about the situation in Palestine in general.
People basically had a verb in relation to freedom, to release, to silence, to etc., that they picked. And then they started in, we had several sessions just listening to different choral pieces and different choral artists. And after that, people started to create sound pieces together en masse. We just made sound graphs and we started to interpret them. And then we had these verbs and everybody went off and found sounds that expressed in their way, everyday sounds that they found expressed that verb. And then we started to compose them into compositions.
If I may, it's the first time that I'm on stage doing something that half of it I don't know. But it reminded me of the sighs and the ohs and the and the that we all used looking at the TV watching the genocide, and it was completely real and completely touchable, because when you are an individual behind a screen or in front of the screen, what would you say? What would you do? You cannot really break the TV, and you cannot really open your window and shout at the politician. Of course, you can do much more later, but at the moment, you cannot but do the whatever.
And Iman, I mean, a lot of the dialogue between the three of you, there was elements of it that were kind of sarcastic or cynical, you know, this idea that, well, crayon would win the Nobel Prize.
Didn't we see crayons winning Nobel Prize over and over? Like, why do we really close the sun with a thumb or with our finger, as we say in as an Arab proverb? The world that we are living in is an absurd world, which we are part of creating this absurdity. Because as Haider said in the text, we are failing the human project. Yes, we are, because we're all complicit, one way or another. Did we ever ask ourselves, standing in front of the mirror, what am I doing? If I were Antigone, what would I do?
And at the same time then, there is, you know, you're talking about the absurd, and it certainly is, but at the same time, it's not necessarily mocking the figure of the artist. It is, as you've already said, I suppose, Haider, understanding the dignity that can be there, that the artist can embody, I suppose.
You know, Trump almost won the Nobel Peace Prize. That was something happening. I mean, that was, that's an absurdity. We thought only theater can go through these lengths, but we are challenged. I was really thinking to say this, but I forgot what the question was.
That's okay. No, I mean, I'm just thinking about that sort of dichotomy between, like, the sort of nature of the absurd, the cynicism, and yet, you know, although there was a sarcastic element to the dialogue that you created, I suppose underpinning it is this which I think you already said, Haider, this idea that that there is a role for the artist, you know, that we're not necessarily as helpless, maybe, as we can feel.
Yes, of course. I mean, every time I hear the thing that when we say that free speech is challenged, I'm thinking never ever has been as much free speech as now, except it's from the side that is spewing these horrible things that you wouldn't imagine being said by politicians 10, 15 years ago. And then you could say, okay, but what is the narrative? It's about community building. That's an important thing. I mean, you could open the window and shout at the politician, hoping that he lives across, which he would not be. So you would think, okay, but maybe the role of the artist isn't only doing a play for an audience that has already left their house, coming here, thinking the same as the performer. Very often, we don't have the other in our theaters. Then you could say, okay, but maybe it's about community building. Maybe we're creating something together and trying to get those voices that that are as far from you as possible, not to try to silence them or try to convince them in something, but just to be together in a space. I mean, there are several ways to be an artist, but maybe it's not about art anymore. I remember there is this Egyptian theater maker who made a piece that's called No Time for Art. And I remember me as a young artist, I was really thinking, oh, okay, this will be very, you know, direct, and it will be very political, and I don't know what. And I remember going in to see it, and it was just six Egyptian people who lived through the Arabic Spring, who were violated, who were tortured, who were beaten. And they were just there talking about their experiences. There was no light, there was no music, no classical, no nothing. And I was looking at this, and I was really touched by it. So maybe I think we just redefine what art is. Maybe it's the art of finding ways to talk to each other, because it's something that my colleagues are sitting there. It's something that we're thinking of a lot. How can we bring another audience in here? I mean, if I do a show about the Gaza, I don't think someone here is really questioning the genocide. No, you know? But there are people who are questioning this. So what are we doing?
And I think, as Maud already said, I mean, there you're talking about art and community building, and this particular sound or performance experiment, if you like, we have it. We are here today in the Samuel Beckett Theatre, but as you said, it's also a piece that's been created to reach as wide an audience as you can. Maybe you could talk a little bit about the idea of sound, I suppose, because there's such, like, there's all these different levels of sound. Maybe you could talk a little bit about the embodied experience, I suppose, of sound expression. I think that was something that was important as well.
I think in the kind of first 2 weeks where we met as a chorus in the rehearsal time in the summer, like a big, you know, we were working purely with sound. So to imagine taking the visual away, so how do you communicate? Yes, you've words, but really that we can all, everybody found their own way to express with their own. So not like a Greek chorus in that we're all coming, singing from the same hymn sheet, the elders who all have the same thing to express. We wanted to create a chorus that is polyvocal, that we are expressing something collectively, but we all can stand with our own individuality, our own individual experience, and that can actually be explored through our sound pieces, through our explorations of freedom and what that means to us, and through our choice of our verb, to be disgusted, to be silenced, or to silence. And I think that through that experimentation and through kind of releasing the idea of performing on stage together like we did today, we all really got to explore our own response to the state of the world or our own state of being whilst learning everybody else's, whilst connecting and feeding into everybody else's beings and expressions as well.
The sound is really about senses, and it's not only about using the body, using the voice, and being fully as actor on stage, but just this to put the sound there, it's like you ignite your senses. You could even close your eyes and listen to the whole piece, and then it really resonates differently in your body and in your mind. And probably this is what we miss in general, that our senses are numb, and we have to really go back to the essence of who we are. How can we really use our different senses in order to connect as one body, as not only a community, but a community of one consciousness.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, again, coming back to how we're numbed even by language, I think, you know, the language we see on the news and even the images. I would like to open it out to the audience. There are two roving mics. There's one hand here.
Thank you very much. My name is Chukwudi Okoye. I am a senior lecturer from the Department of Theater in Nnamdi Azikiwe University in Nigeria. I am presently an Atlantic Fellow with the Global Brain Health Institute. So thank you very much for such a wonderful, I want to thank the Outlandish Theater for such a wonderful piece. I think the lines, the characterizations were all very powerful. The question, and yeah, I think Emma, if I got that correctly, your lines were quite moving when you said we are all occupied. And I think out of all the tableaus and all the pieces, one of the most moving ones for me was the upset bystander, to be an upset bystander. It is almost quite opposite to be upset and now be a bystander, because I guess that's what we all are. You know, most of us cry when we see the little children starved in Gaza, holding their tummies and all that, and the next moment we are taking selfies and moving on with life. So when you said, the coordinator, when you said, talked about Theater of the Oppressed by Augusto Boal, his position is that the elite and the masses are constantly at war. That war may never end. The elite being the politicians and the masses, we see what goes on in Gaza, even with the politics. I happen to come from Nigeria where, not taking away the light away from Gaza, there is presently genocide still, you know, with Christians being killed and moderate Muslims. And recently, Nigeria has been designated a country of particular concern. I don't know if any of us heard about it. So those conversations still continue. So the question to the Outlandish Theater is, how do we take these conversations forward? I see that this event is being covered, and I hear about the radio program. How do we engage the elite with this piece? Because on one side of the spectrum, we are doing perfectly well. We are having conversations with the community right now with this piece, as theater has the power to do so. But in moving forward, in engaging the people that hold the red pen, that, you know, make the policies, how do we get them to listen? Thank you.
One strong line that answers this question in the piece is when I say, I want to take to the parliament. We need to talk to crayon. We cannot really talk to ourselves.
I'm going to wrap up now. I just want to thank everybody who was here today, the chorus behind me, and our panelists, Iman, Haider, Shiloh, Bernie, Maud, and Krada. You've been listening to the Culture File debate, which came to you today from the Samuel Beckett Theatre in Trinity College, where we've witnessed the performance event Freedom, created by Outlandish Theatre Company. Thank you.
And if you'd like to hear a live recording of the piece in question there, Outlandish Theatre's Freedom, check out the Culture File podcast feed. Culture File is a Sounds Doable production for RTE Lyric FM.